Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't figure them out.
What's to figure out?
And I think it's because they haven't figured themselves out. Well, okay. Can I try a couple things here?
You sure can, Mark.
I got more patience than most people. Okay? But I'm just looking at everything that's going on. And I feel like I'm building a laundry list that's too long for my liking. We can start with the macro. So Buster Posey walks into the job. He helps Chapman get an extension. He walks into the job. He gets Adamas to a huge deal. And then he trades for Devers. And then less than a year after the trade, we're getting national stories about how the Giants would love to unload all the deals. No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't challenge that is the thinking right now, but my God, these are unbelievable mistakes if that's what you're thinking now. So the Giants right now feel like a group that keeps making decisions and changing their mind 4 hours later. That's what it feels like. We got people down in the bullpen who have no idea who the hell is being called into the game. We got a third base coach who cannot tell if he wants to use his right arm or his left. And now, of all the things that we as fans have been waiting for, you call up Bryce Eldridge, the crown jewel of the farm system, the big guy, and everyone is excited to see him hit. We understand there'll be a day off here or there, but he shows up. He plays in one series, and then we get to the weekend, and Pittsburgh comes to town. And on a Friday night, everybody gets off work and heads to the ballpark so that he can sit. But then he goes into the game on Saturday. Let's give him his at-bats. He parks one. Crappy game. Giants get blown out, but the kid parked one. His first major league home run, McCovey Cove Dave. Pictures, signed autographs, yay, Bryce Eldridge, first major league home run. Hasn't started since.
Well, just one game.
No, two games.
Well, tonight would be two.
Correct.
Right.
And three out of four, with the opposing pitcher being a right-hander in all three of those games.
And tonight's right-hander has a 6 ERA.
What are we doing? You called him up to not play him? At least most of the time? At least, what did we say? What was our rule? Five out of six.
Or four out of five, or five out of six. Whatever we said.
6 games a week, you got to give him five.
No doubt.
Well, they didn't do it last week. They gave him 4. And we're starting this week with 7 games, and we're 0-1. And no, I don't count it if he comes in late to pinch hit.
I mean, the week started yesterday, so it'll be 0-2.
You know what I'm saying.
I do.
You know what I'm saying. Like the series, the two series of the week.
I get it, yeah.
He came up.
So you got 4 in LA and you got 3 in Sacramento, and he'll be 0-1 on starting games. What are we doing?
That's all I'm asking. You can convince me. I'm open-minded. I get all the, we don't know stuff that's going on behind the scenes. Maybe he's got a hangnail. I don't know what's going on, but you can't do this. Don't call him up and sit him. All in the name, by the way, of high-priced veterans who are not producing, but now we're stuck. See, this is exactly why you were stuck. What happened the second he got here? They all started hitting.
Right.
Now they're hitting. Adamas looks better than he's looked in months.
And Devers, too.
Devers is hitting long fly balls. So you know damn well that Tony Vitello is not in the position. Now, with those high-priced veterans swinging the stick, getting huge hits, that was monstrous for Adamas yesterday. 2 outs, down by 2, bottom of the 10th. Whap, left center field. Let's freaking go. You're going to sit him the next day?
He's up to 209, Mark. I mean, he's raking right now.
He hit the ball really well over the weekend.
He did.
He had consistent at-bats. And these are your dudes.
And you have to play Casey Schmidt because he's been your best player all year. So what do you do? Do you put Casey Schmidt out in right and let him run around and play right field? I know he's been taking some fly balls in the corner outfield spot. And if you don't do that, well, then Casey plays first and Devers DHs and your 6'7" phenom who just homered. Now you have to watch. Now you get to watch baseball again, which is the one thing that you and I both said you absolutely cannot do with a young player. You bring him up, you play him. You might as well send him back to Sacramento.
I mean, Casey's got two hits in his last 16, but they gave him a day off over the weekend.
Yep.
See, this is what bothers me about what's happening right now for Bryce Eldridge. It's 3 out of 4 games. We're not at a 4-alarm fire yet, but what this is about credibility and money. And that's what I don't like. That's what I was worried about when I had the very unpopular take last week that, yes, I'm excited to see him, but these are not the circumstances around which you want to bring him up. Because, A, he's going to feel like the savior, or you're going to have a hard time getting him in the game. And the last thing we want Bryce to do is watch baseball. So now, what happens? Your high-priced veterans who run the locker room started hitting line drives and big fly balls. And you can't bench them. They're making too much money. They've got too much cachet and credibility. Unlike your manager, who does not have the credibility and the cachet yet. This is no criticism. He's only managed 40 games in his career.
Yep.
But he does not have the cachet yet to sit one of those guys because Bryce needs to get his at-bats too. So I don't know, man. I got a hard time with this. It's why I said last week, like, this is, you get a very short shelf life to pull something like this off unless you feel like you're ready to make up injuries. And they're not going to do that.
Well, especially now that these guys are starting to hit. You know, Devers is starting to hit. And you mentioned Adames with the big extra inning knock yesterday. And, you know, Chapman's a guy who you hope can continue to hit. And Casey Schmidt, you pointed it out, he's 2 for his last 16. But he already had a day where he sat. And so he's been so good all year long. You don't want him to have to come out of the lineup. So what do you do with Bryce Eldridge, a guy who needs to be in there each and every day? Now you choose to have him sit. And I just think organizationally, it's kind of a mess. And the report of, you know, they'd love to move off all these contracts, and that report just doesn't come out of nowhere. And yeah, I think that they would love to be able to do that with at least one of the contracts, but you'd start rolling out how much is still owed to Jung-Hoo Lee and Chapman and Devers and Adames. You're stuck. And so if you're Bryce Eldridge, like, where and when are you ever going to play?
I have no idea.
Right?
And by the way, while you're out here making concessions on defense in the name of offense, and don't get it twisted, that's completely why Patrick Bailey is a Guardian. You're making defensive concessions in the name of offense. I don't think that that fits with your identity, but I get it. You're so awful offensively. You've got to do something. And now here you are. You scored 7 runs yesterday. It took you 12 innings to do it, but you scored 7 runs. And in fact, your new, not very good defensive catcher is the one who got the walk-off hit. Okay, if you're making defensive concessions in the name of offense, then I've got another one. Send Drew Gilbert down. Make Jung-Hoo Lee your center fielder. Put Casey Schmidt in right. Make Bryce Eldridge your DH, and let's do this. You're already going back and forth at first base with Devers and Eldridge, not great defensive players. You signed Luis Arraez and got lucky, not a great defensive player historically. You're now handing the catcher position over to two babies, one of whom is only sort of a catcher. You gave $182 million to Willy Adames, who is mediocre on defense.
Right.
The first left fielder to do 2 opening days in a row since Barry Bonds is named Elliot Ramos. Disaster on defense. So I don't care what you do with this whole let's put Jung-Hoo Lee in right thing. You're not going to be a good defensive team right now. You don't have the people to be a good defensive team.
Even if you put them in center, like, it's not going to all of a sudden hamper your defense.
You did it all last year.
Right.
Yeah, it's not going to kill you.
And you got Ramos in left, who is an adventure, to put it gently. You got a Gold Glover at third base, who's having a little bit of a down year defensively.
But he's good. Yeah, I hear you.
Solid, but your first base position has been, you know, catch the bleeping ball, Casey Schmidt, and then it's Devers, and then it's, you know, Eldridge. And your defense is not great anyway, so... Put another bat out there.
And Bader, I know you paid him a little bit of money, but if it's kind of a platoonish thing out in center, if you want to move guys around a little bit, make Bader a defensive replacement late, I understand all of those things. Drew Gilbert is 3 for his last 22 and has the same problem that Jung Hoo Lee has. Can we get these people some helmets that'll stay on their head?
It just flies off.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Gilbert needs two bandanas under there. Something. He's swinging and missing at balls, and then his hat is down over his eyes, looking like the kid batting 11th on the Little League team. Can we please? Like, this is, I guess, what I'm saying to the whole organization. Can you button it up?
Yeah.
Like, look at yourselves. I love this team so much. And yay for 2 out of 3 over the weekend. The bullpen doesn't know who's coming in. Nobody knows what position they play anymore. Bailey's in Cleveland. Who's your catcher? I don't know. We'll meet him tomorrow. Logan Webb's on the IL. You say you're a team that's based on pitching and defense and you have no good defensive players. And now Bryce Eldridge finally gets called up and you don't have a spot for him in the lineup against right-handed pitching?
Right.
I'm right here. Can someone explain this to me? I don't understand what's going on.
It's pretty easy to see.
What is it?
Well, you spent a lot of money on guys who aren't as good as you thought they were, but because you're paying them all this money, you feel like you have to ride with them. You've got a manager who has 40 games of professional big league experience as a manager, as a human being. Not only as a manager, but he's never played in the bigs, and so... That's partly why you don't know who's coming in from the bullpen. Your third base coach is really having a scuffle. God. The stay, the go, the stay, the stop sign, all the rest of it. But at the very essence, your team, it's just not that good. Like, even beyond Chapman, Devers, Adames, they should all be better than they are. But even beyond that, your team is not very talented.
I understand that. But I think what most fans want, it's almost even like the Warriors right now. What I think is interesting about what's happening behind the scenes with the Warriors is the fans would like to know what the plan is. And I said this to you last week about the Giants. Like, if you're bad right now in an age where you are trying to, like, look what they did with Bailey. What'd they do? They acquired two young players. One of them, we don't even know who it is yet. But they acquired two young players. One of them is going to be a first-round draft pick. And the other one, I think, was a third-round draft pick, and his nickname is Tugboat. Fine, I'm in. Okay, so, but you're acquired, they want, you know, you think about what they did in the international bonus pool this offseason. They really want to button up this farm system. I think in an age where the Dodgers almost look unbeatable anyway, the Giants are at a moment where they can kind of sell this to their fans. But what they're doing simultaneously is also handing out the largest contracts in the history of the organization, getting very, very little production from that group, and continuing to say that they play at third and king, so they're a pitching and defense squad, but they signed no good pitching and have very few good defensive players, and the ones they do have, they're trading. So all I want to know is, what are you doing? Just tell us what you're doing. We'll follow. We're Giants fans. We're not turning our gear in. I would just love, and if anybody out there wants to give it a stab, like, explain this to us like we're fifth graders. You cannot look at what's happening right now and say, yeah, like, we're all, We're in line. We're following the line. We're doing what the organization wants us to do. No. We look like we're just out here making it up every day when we wake up.
It's two timelines, Mark, is what it is. It's two timelines. You've got the super high-priced veteran timeline, and now you've got the, hey, we got a couple of picks for our catcher that we lost faith in, and we've got these really young guys in the international pool. We have a shortstop in San Jose who, stand back, he's going to be phenomenal in 2031. Two timelines.
Okay, first of all, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Look, we're in sports radio. It's real easy when things aren't going well for a team. This is what we do. We hop on the microphones. You hop on the phones or the texts or the tweets or the YouTube or whatever, and we all go, man, this organization is stupid. And I always fall back, and this is part of why everybody thinks that I'm like sleeping on Shanahan's couch or whatever. It's like, you understand, these are not dumb human beings. John Lynch, Buster Posey, Parag, Steve Kerr, Mike Donlevy, Joe Lacob, these are not stupid people. They are very, very highly successful, decorated, professional sports human beings. So I know this is what I'm getting at. When they wake up in the morning, they do have a plan. I just think we're having a really hard time seeing it right now. You know what this is making me think? Bryce Eldridge sitting, and by the way, if you're just joining us, he's sitting again. Third time in four games. The only time they didn't sit him, he homered. And the pitchers have been right-handed every time. You just woke up to a surprising Patrick Bailey trade, right? I have a feeling we're going to get another one sooner rather than later.
Another surprising trade.
Yes.
Bryce Eldridge?
No. Other way around.
Like Devers or Adames or?
I think Chapman.
I mean, okay.
That'd be my guess of the three. It's the easiest contract to trade. It's the shortest. It's the cheapest. And he's played the best. And he's elite defensively. You may have to eat some of the money, but think about what it would, like, what'd they just do behind the plate? They just created a runway for a couple of young guys.
Right.
All right, make Casey Schmidt your third baseman. Do it. You're giving up defense everywhere else. And Casey's not a bad defender anyway.
He's not.
He's not Chappy. But,
and that would clear the way for Eldridge to, still sit.
Yeah, no.
He'd be the DH.
Be the DH.
Right.
And sometimes first base.
That makes sense. I mean,
I could see that happening real soon.
And I could see a Robbie Ray trade as well happening.
That's probably more
somewhat.
Yeah, I agree,
you know,
but isn't that a deadline thing?
Maybe, depending on, I don't know, how quickly you want to fully go white flag with the season because, you know, you are sitting eight games below 500 and, you know, you come out of a Dodger series this week and if you lose three or four or whatever happens against the Dodgers, you could find yourself even further behind the eight ball, and you know Logan Webb's on the IL, and already your pitching is not great. So I think that you could probably get more for Robbie Ray earlier than probably waiting to the deadline.
You're probably right, but then again, I mean, what's sort of like it's jarring about the Patrick Bailey thing, and to a degree, it even was with the Devers deal last year. Like you wake up and you're like, it's not trade season yet, so it's hard sometimes to find partners. Certainly in May. It's May 11th. They traded the guy on May 9th.
Right.
You know?
Gone. That's, you know, Cleveland probably really was interested in getting a good defensive catcher, and the Giants had enough.
I guess. I mean, I'm even, Cleveland has not played good baseball this year either, have they? Yeah, they have. Well, they're 21-21. But they're in first place. They're in a stupid division. So, yeah. Okay. They're going for it. I mean, they're right-handed hitting catcher. I know Bailey's a switch, but they have Austin Hedges as well. Also, phenomenal defensive catcher, light hitting. So the Guardians have just decided we're gonna be awesome behind the plate.
I mean, makes sense.
So that's what they're gonna do.
And you can probably afford it if you're Cleveland because you have more offense than the Giants do. That's for sure.
Yeah, they don't have a lot. Well, everybody has more than the Giants.
Yeah,
they don't have a lot, but they're okay. They're in the middle of the pack-ish on the run scored. So that's what they're doing, and that's not what the Giants are doing. Although they clearly fell in love immediately with two young catchers who they haven't really seen a whole lot from. You can be excited about Jesus Rodriguez. I don't know about his catching yet. Susak looked like a pretty good catcher, and he's an exciting bat, but wow, what have we seen? Like 35 at-bats? Like, it has not been much. But they'll get the runway. That the other thing that tells me, though, there's more going on there with Patrick Bailey. Like, that's a catching great. That's a Hall of Fame catcher that just traded Patrick Bailey.
Right.
So you would think if anyone would appreciate what he does defensively, it would be Buster Posey. And he just shipped him out on May 11th.
Right, and he shipped him out because, you know, all of the receiving he does, the framing and throwing people out, there's more to it, like you were saying. And offensively, we can all see it. He is just overmatched at the plate. And I know that there was some scuttlebutt about the Philadelphia doubleheader with, you know, pitch calling and maybe the pitches that were asked for. And, you know, Ryan Walker wouldn't shake him off. And wherever those pitches are being called, if it's Bailey or the dugout, I know that there's some frustration around that.
Sure, yeah. And I think it goes back even further than that.
Yeah.
Patrick Bailey, I'm not going to claim to know exactly, but it feels like he was a little, I don't know, rough around the edges personality-wise. I never really heard like him getting into it with teammates or whatever. Logan Webb loved him. Who wouldn't? If you're a pitcher, you love Patrick. And you know sports teams, they'll put up with anything if they'll help them win games. But there had to be some more going on here.
No doubt. And I mean, more than just a guy who's hitting a .140, and you know, you want somebody who can actually hit. And I just think about what you were saying earlier, the direction. If you're going to trade your catcher in May, there has to be more to it than you're just having a struggle. You could have sent him to AAA, which is what I thought that they should have done, but instead they just flat out traded him. That tells me that they don't have a lot of faith in his ability to turn it around as a hitter, and so you just dealt him. But you're right, Mark, to trade a guy in May 9th, that's relatively unheard of.
And it
is a two-time Gold Glove catcher.
And we'll play some of this for you coming up next. Ken Rosenthal was on Fair Territory and had a lot of stuff about the Giants. But the national reports over the weekend immediately after the Bailey deal came from everywhere. Bob Nightingale's talking about it. Heyman's talking about it. Rosenthal's talking about it. And everyone's saying the same thing. The Giants, like, would love to just get out from underneath these contracts on May 11th. And it's like, Devers hasn't even been a Giant for 12 months yet.
A full year, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And Adames' deal is one season and a month and a half old. And here we are. But why are those guys all hearing all of that? It just tells me that Buster's been burning up the phones. And you've got a lineup problem right now. And people don't do this to their top prospect. You don't call him up and sit him. You just don't do that. That doesn't make any sense. So part of this is me even just sitting here talking this out with you.
Right.
It kind of put my antennas up. And I'm going to prepare myself to wake up to another one of these real soon.
Yeah, I think you're right about the most likely one being Matt Chapman, because, you know, it's the contract that would be the most able to stomach for another team. It's not as long. It's not as rich. And also that would give Casey Schmidt a clear-cut position as opposed to, hey, you know, bring all your gloves today to the ballpark.
he's at first base tonight over Devers. I hope he catches the bleeping ball.
Boy, yeah.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.